God is good, yes?
Yes.
Yes. And all the time I know, even when I don't know it. Isn't that good? Even when I forget. I know this world sometimes goes really faster than I want sometimes. How about you?
Yes.
Just needing to slow it down just a little bit. I was sharing with the other group that when I was growing up in Southern California, I wanted to explore, and so I wanted to learn how to get on the bus. So my mom helped me, you know, get the ticket and all that I needed. And so I went my first time, and I got on the bus, and I noticed all these places that they were stopping, and it was on my list, right? So I could see it. I knew where I needed to get off. But what I noticed was this bus driver was not stopping at any of these places, and I'm getting very nervous and scared and not knowing, you know, what will happen. So I stood in the back and I stood up and I said, "Doesn't this bus ever stop?" And of course he pulled over very kindly and he said, "You know, all you need to do is pull the cord and that tells me that you want to get off." And so nobody told me, right? You know, so one of the things we want to do here is give you all the rules, right? So we could make this embodiment just a little easier. Anybody for more ease? Yeah. 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 So I know that's how I feel sometimes in life is, doesn't this life ever just stop and be still for a little bit, right? Just, I want to get off. I don't want to play right now. I'm done. So that's that. Come apart for a while, you know, go away from the life experiences so that I can remember who and whose I am. And because I want to show up fully. I want to show up as my best self. And when I'm stressed, that doesn't always happen. But I love this song because it talks about the letting go and letting go of having to know everything. You know, and sometimes we're just a little bit too full of ourselves and needing to know. So there's this great story about the Zen monk. And there was a professor who wanted to learn more about Zen. So he approached the Zen master and he said, "I would love to learn more about Zen. Would you teach me?" So he said, "Of course." So he came over to his home and so the Zen master said, "Please, you know, come in. Wonderful that you're here." And he began speaking about the vital importance of ethical living in Zen. And so the professor heard that and just went off on, "Oh, yes, I know. I have studied ethics. It's a fascinating topic. I've studied several branches of it. In fact, blah, 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 blah." And so the Zen master just, you know, politely listened and waited for that pause that took a while to come and began to say, "Well, in Zen, the correct motivation for saying or doing everything or anything is very important, so we try to say only what is truly helpful." Yeah. And so the professor says, "Well, you know, there's very many theories that hold that view. And however, I must say that I find each of them sort of flawed," and went off to talk about how he disagreed with that idea. And so the Zen master quietly waited for him to pause one more time and said, "Would you like some tea?" And so the professor said, "Yes, of course, I would love some tea." So he brought out the tray of tea and began to pour the hot water into the cup. And he kept pouring and pouring, and it was overflowing into the saucer. And the professor is like getting upset and worried and finally exclaims, "Can't you see? It's overflowing and it can't take any more." And the Zen master said, "Yes, yes." "I see and I can see, and can't you see that your mind is completely full of old ideas and it can't take in any more new ones? Therefore, you can't possibly learn about Zen." So isn't it, we want to begin with this beginner's mind they talk about and letting go of what we think we know so maybe Spirit can bring in some new ideas. Yes?
Yes.
So we're going back to basics. This course is about basic teaching of unity, and it's always great to return back to the teachings that we all began with. Every time I've done this course, I learn more. And I've done it several times, and I'm still going deeper with each idea, with each way, because, you know, our fifth teaching is something about, it's not enough to know these truths by word. We have to embody them. We have to know how to demonstrate them in the world. That's how they come alive for us. Otherwise, they're just words. They're just affirmations. They're not true for us, right? Yes? Yeah. We have to put them into our life. We have to be able to embody these teachings. So this particular one that we're working with is sort of a high and mighty teaching. There's one presence and one power in my life and in the universe, the all-loving goodness of God. Yes?
Yes.
Yeah. And so in these teachings that we're looking at, we say that same thing by saying, no one and nothing is against me. And we begin to understand that this is an absolute truth. We may not fully understand that yet or fully embody that yet. Just as our Weishoer Jesus came, you know, he moved into his divinity. He became fully realized, but first he was human, as we are. So he was our Weishoer. He's not the exception. Jesus is the example of how to do this thing we call life. How to not only embrace the human, but express the Spirit. That's what we're here for, to uncover and discover our own divinity. So that's why we're calling it a journey of awakening, because guess what? We're awakening. And the truth is that we're already awake. Yes?
Yes.
And that awakeness just shows up as when we're fully remembering who we are in oneness with this divine presence. And I have a moment just about every day, do you? Yes? Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it's not all day, right? Usually not all day. But there's moments of that remembering. So that's what our truth is. The purpose of this book is to awaken to the truth that there is only one presence and one power in our life, and that this presence and power lives in you as the Spirit of God. It's not something outside of us that we have to access. It's something in us that we want to discover. And so the arena of creating harmony and living with wholeness is what this is about. And there's sort of two levels that Dr. Gary Simmons talks about. And the first, in order to awaken, is to remember that we are already whole, that we are already divine, and to sort of begin to make that discovery through becoming aware of ourselves in the world and how we are bumping up against it, how we are expressing in the world when it's not outpicturing the way we would always like it to be. And if you experience that, that just doesn't always come out exactly how we were expecting. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's not about, you know, that we have all these tools and we're going to have this perfect life and manifest everything so that we're totally comfortable and everything's in order so we know exactly what's coming next. Right? That's sort of sometimes how we think it should be, because we're sort of uncomfortable with the unknown. Yes?
Yes?
Yeah. So I sort of like to know, you know. So I'm a planner. I don't know about you. I plan a lot of things. And then I have to learn to just let it all go, Denise. Right? You get it in place and you co-create with this living presence. God wants you to, right? He can't move a parked car, right? So we do have to move our energy. We have to move our bodies. We have to be in the world and do something. So this awareness that we're talking about is becoming aware of how we respond and react in conflict or in harmony, whatever it is, but how we become diminished by something outside of ourselves. And as we become more aware of that, he's talking about it as sort of becoming, it's called awarepy. Isn't that great? So we're sort of doing our own, it's not like you have to go somewhere, we're doing our own therapy by having the self-inquiry, the self-discovery practice of reading and studying and talking with others and then having our own quiet time and writing. So that's the first approach, is being in groups or writing yourself and then doing the questions in the booklet. And then the second method is working with the principle of center. Centering helps us embrace difficult circumstances by whenever we become defensive or reactive. So he uses martial arts in a beautiful way of demonstrating this law of non-resistance and how that goes. And I really enjoy it. He has lots of beautiful stories about that. So it really takes on this real masculine energy of how spirituality works in the world. And I think in Unity, we're very connected to the feminine side. Yes? Yes. And that shows up in having, you know, usually more women than men. And so I'm excited to sort of have something in that more masculine realm that Gary's bringing us. So we're going to look at different ways of being in community and being in the world when we get off center. And so we're going to do some practices this afternoon about that. So what I know is God is the only reality of us, and all else is but a shadow. So this is what Myrtle Fillmore said, and I mentioned that in my meditation. And I love that quote, which I want to say again, because we were in a different state a few minutes ago. So what we're here to be is the Christ of God. Yes?
Yes.
That's why we're here, to awaken to our own divinity. And so this is a beautiful expression from Myrtle. We have a very decided part, she says, that we are to cease worrying and being anxious and thinking and speaking of the past and of the apparent lack and idleness. So Myrtle and Charles built Unity Village in the time of the Great Depression. So she knew something about lack. Yes? In a world where there wasn't a lot of resources, but they were able to look beyond the appearances of the world and create an entire village, an entire education community. She goes on to say, we are to concentrate all of our attention upon the truth of God and the truth of our own being, upon the very things we would see taking place in our lives. We cannot do this as long as we have negative thoughts in our hearts. So part of our work is sort of becoming aware of the thought patterns that sort of lead our lives. Thought patterns are sort of known as the BS that lives in us. That's the belief system. Right? You get it. But there is that critic, that voice that sometimes, you know, is there. We call it sometimes the committee of many voices that's constantly narrating why life doesn't look a certain way and why we don't want it to be that way. So part of this awareness is becoming aware of that voice within that is not always telling us the truth. And part of that voice sounds like, you know, that beware, you know, be caution, you know, don't do this. You're not good enough. You don't know enough. They don't know enough. There's not enough, you know. So we do fall into that. Remember, Jesus said, be in the world, but not of the world. Be in the world, but not of the world. So in the world, we want to be expressing. We want to share. We want to engage. We want to have healthy relationships. We want to contribute our good, and we want to contribute to the well-being of others. But we don't want to be of the world. So of the world is, you know, the world says there's not enough. There's not, you know, enough resources. There's not enough time. There's not enough information. So part of our work is to be removed from those thought forms and to trust and know that God is the source of our good, that there is an infinite supply, that there is no shortage or lack in the absolute realm. Yes?
Yes.
So it may be out picturing that there's not enough finances, there's not enough people, you know, whatever. That's not the truth of the reality. The truth is there's infinite possibilities and infinite resources, and we just need to tap into that energy source to support the manifestation here on earth. Yes?
Yes.
So we don't want to get caught up in that languaging or that belief system that says I'm not enough, or we don't have enough, or there's not enough, or also that you're against me. You know how that could show up. You know, someone says something that might trigger you or be harmful to your feelings. And so part of it is recognizing that that's an external trigger, and not that we're not affected by external ideas, of recognizing where the hurt lies, that it's not in them, it's in us. It's in our response to something they said or did, and not to make them the evil person, because we're operating off a belief system that got created long, long ago. And so this awareness is about coming to the truth of that and how that sort of leads our lives, and recognizing when we do get triggered to have a practice to sort of walk us out of that. So Myrtle goes on to say, God is the one perfect life flowing through us. God is the one pure substance out of which our body is formed. God is the power that gives us motive power or energy, the strength that holds us upright and allows us to exercise our bodies, the wisdom that gives us intelligence in every cell of our organism, every thought of our minds. God is the only reality that is. All else is but a shadow that is cast by some foolish belief or unwise combination of thoughts and the elements of being. When we let the light flood us with its sunshine, all the clouds vanish and we begin to see ourselves in new ways of doing and being, which lead to wholeness, health, satisfaction, and growth. Yes, yes, that is the truth of who we are, that we live in this infinite field of possibilities, and that we limit God by deciding that we need to control our lives or put, you know, parameters on that because we're unsafe. So the infinite field of possibilities is there's the wave and the particle. And the wave is that there's infinite ideas and possibilities that could happen at any given moment in any circumstance. And that particle is that one idea of how we interpret that to mean. It could have been anyway, but that's how we broke it down. So by not having to control our lives, not to be consistently have everything ordered so that we're comfortable and we know what our next step is, God can work miracles in an open field. So that's that letting go, as the song talked about. Letting go of how I think it should be so that God can work. God can work. So God knows that your life is not against you. God knows that. And there's nothing in this world that can destroy who you really are. Our discomfort comes from not remembering who we are and thinking that the pain or discomfort that comes from interpreting our life experience is made up by us. So an example is you walk into a dark room and you see something on the floor that's coiled up. And for an instant, you believe it might be a snake. And you might begin to experience fear and trepidation. And the mind and the emotions begin to take over. Anybody recognize that scenario? Yeah. So our thoughts flood in about needing to get out of the room, about our physical discomfort from, and that we're in danger. And we will do anything to save ourselves, right? And so the brain responds by releasing this stress hormone called cortisol. And you might recall, I talked about the trust hormone, oxytocin. So that was about building trust and comfort. So this is the exact opposite. It's fear, anxiety, and worry is what, and it sort of takes over the whole body and the brain, right? And we've sort of been hijacked by this chemical in the body. So in a moment of believing that there is an object in the room as a snake, to connecting to source energy, we can shift just by inquiring, taking a moment to say, wow, I'm really feeling fear. Wonder what that really is. And recognizing that maybe it's not what we thought it was. So that's sort of the inquiry. And when we do that, we can do that with people as well. As sort of we get triggered and we could sort of back up and say, wow, I wonder what happened for me. What was I needing in that moment that got me so triggered? I'm sort of getting that I was needing care or understanding or consideration or trust or a deeper level of understanding. So if we're holding judgments and resentments, our body and our mind are vibrating at a very low level, yes? Yeah. And it's really, really hard to function under anger, fear, and resentment. And our thinking gets jaded. So part of what we want to do is raise that vibratory energy. And so part of that is getting self-connected, that centering practice. Some of you are heart math practitioners and use that energy. But whatever we could do to raise our vibratory level of energy is very important so we could get back to who and what we are. Yes? Yes. Because that energy field is what invites us into becoming the Christ. When we're in fear, worry, and doubt, it's really hard to be our most brilliant self. Have you noticed? Yeah. Yeah. It really is. And so part of that is creating a field that allows us to be our most beautiful and brilliant selves. And techniques that go along of how to navigate when life isn't so easy or isn't so comfortable. I remember a story that I heard from Byron Katie, where she was talking to this woman, and she went into the restroom to go use the restroom, and she really liked this woman. They sort of had a conversation, and she really felt her energy and enjoyed her. And then she went in to use the restroom herself and noticed that the toilet seat was just covered with urine. And she got enraged that this woman could have left, you know, this toilet seat the way it was. And her thought patterns were just creating this horrible scenario. And she was outraged and had this resentment. And so she finished her business, she flushed the toilet, and the whole water went So there she had created this evil person, right? And nothing had really happened. she had created this in her own mind, right? That she had done something to her. Don't we do that? That you've done something to me. And that's what we do. We make stuff up, right? We just make stuff up. So part of the human journey is sort of just getting in touch with, so what's really happening, and letting go of the story. Letting go of the story so we can get on with the glory. Let go of the story, whatever we're creating, and get greater connection with each other. One of the great benefits of this this work is really moving into a place of spiritual, emotional, and mental freedom and liberation. I want that. Do you want that?
Yeah.
I want to be happy, joyous, and free as often as possible. And I want that for you. So I'm willing to do this work. Are you willing to join me?
Yes.
Yeah. Great. So we'll start the 7 weeks. There is a childcare, by the way, this afternoon. So for those of you who thought you might try to get out of it. Did he already plan it? Okay, yeah. So I invite you to join us today, and also get into a group, and really invite you into this journey of awakening. And at some level, I know it's basic teachings, but I know each of us can go back to the well, can go back to those teachings and really get them at a different level. So I'm willing to do it with you. So let us pray. So beloved presence, we give thanks for these teachings. We give thanks for this beautiful, amazing spiritual community that opens their arms to everyone. That this really is a positive place to know that we make a difference in the world. So thank you, Spirit, for each one that has co-created this beautiful community so everyone can learn these truths, can be a greater expression of you in the world. That we are interdependent on one another to awaken. That there's this beautiful shared reality of wanting to support each other in this journey of awakening. And so for that we say, yes, God, use me. Use me to be an instrument of peace, love, and joy, and an instrument to support another to have a life without suffering, to have a life filled with beauty and creativity and ease. For that we say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. And so it is. Amen. Thank you very much. God bless you.